Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Joining me today are Dr. Lisbeth Moit and Freddie Zentel Weaver, authors of Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. And as we will discover, it is the universal sexual life force energy which is at the core of universal consciousness and creation. Eventually, as humans, we must become aware of our own existence by finding our way to use this life force energy for integrating one's sexual, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Hello, Elizabeth and Freddie.
Hi. Hello, Cheryl.
Welcome.
Hi, Cheryl.
As listeners of Healing From Within know, on each show, we seek to explore the forces of nature and human development in regard to the universal laws of energy for discovering more about our human and energetic forces of life in order to improve the quality of our individual lives by making healthier and more loving choices. Discover how to understand energy and how it affects us in our relationships and our decision-making. We also can learn how we may change, evolve, find health and prosperity, and create a more loving and functional world. In today's show, Lisbeth and Freddie and I will explore sexual energy in its physical manifestation and recognize it is unique in that it is a creative, pleasurable force and can be accessed when we are in any loving space, viewing a beautiful landscape or piece of art or anything that brings us joy. We will discuss energy in its many forms, sexual energy throughout history and science, and the differences between humans and animals and their relationships with sexual energy. Personally, Lisbeth and Freddie, I think that the two most challenging topics, sexuality and religion, create much confusion and suffering for so many people due to societal mores and miscommunication. And today, I hope we will shed some light on sexual universal energy for positive results. In the introduction to your book, Sexual Enlightenment, you tell a little of your earlier life and the imprints by family on your teenage understanding of sex and the questions you have. Can you tell us something about your families and the cultures you lived in and how it influenced your beginning sexual experiences?
Sure. Hi, and this is Freddie Zentel. For me, I was first introduced to sex consciousness through my father, who was a psychiatrist, and he took pity on me when I was going through my puberty at 15 or whatever it was, 13, and gave me a book to read written by a guy by the name of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, who later changed his name to Osho, who was very controversial. But he taught practices of meditation and sexual awareness exercises. And I loved it then as a young kid and kept doing workshops and reading through college and as an adult. And I never thought I would teach this, but I wound up teaching this, and it's been an integration of all the things I loved and work that I did as professional software marketeer and as a teacher and as a musician. All of those things are wrapped into one with what I'm doing now. So that's really the promise of what's possible.
You know what, Freddie? I think perhaps because your father was a psychiatrist, he saw sexual encounters as more than the physical manifestation of love and procreation. And he was giving you a heads up on life in all its totality, looking for oneness and unity, which is a wonderful gift that he shared with you. But not every young person is in a home life or with people who are as knowledgeable, and so they have other situations. Now, Elizabeth, your situation was a little different. You want to tell us about
that? Yeah, I've lost to So I would have loved to have a dad who would have given me a book on sex consciousness when I was 15, but that was not so. I grew up in Germany, and while I grew up in a way that I felt free about my body, however, that shifted drastically when I hit puberty. My relationship with my dad shifted, and my interest in boys really grew. And but besides, you know, hearing about how babies were born, I'm one of 10 children, and that is definitely what we talk about. But beyond that, there was not much learning and, you know, just being guided in that whole realm of the sexual being. However, I was curious and just, you know, lived my life and went on and learned about Tantra in my early 30s, and then got more deeply engaged in my late 40s, when I was at a time in my life after my late husband had passed away 4 years before that. So I was just a little bit, you know, unsettled around relationship and drawn to unmarried men, I mean, married men and unavailable men. And I wanted to break that cycle. And so that was when things opened up for me through the tantric practice and learning, went on to a certification program. I was a management consultant at the time, so becoming a tantra teacher was not the exact trajectory of a management consultant. However, having Freddie show up in my life, and then within a couple of months deciding to really create that opportunity to share about sexual well-being, sexual spiritual connection, and what we call it now, sexual enlightenment, he came into my life as a gift, and so ever since we have been creating together.
Well, I would say, I am the author of The Living Spirit, that nothing is random, and it was part of your gift and life plan for you to come together and to bring your awareness and knowledge and light into the world in terms of helping people understand sexuality, sensuality, and the true passion for living a well-defined life. So I see it as more part of the plan that you would meet. But there was something in the book that I read. It said that when you were younger, you were allowed to run naked with your sisters and brothers, and it was very open in Europe about that. So then how come your father was so closed down about your budding sexuality when you would eventually go with a young man? And I just want to say here, in many cultures, and it still exists today, right here in our culture, that when boys have their first sexual experience, it's seen as a triumph. And when a teenage girl, you know, tries to talk about her sexual experience, she's seen as something less than promising and perhaps going on a path that might not be the best for her. So what can we say about this? It hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's still prevailing, that, you know, for example, when two teenagers have sex for the first time together, the boy may well go home to his dad and, you know, be then congratulated by his dad and given some condoms, while you know, the girl, I mean, I would never have gone home and told my mother that I had sex with my first boyfriend. And many women we work with to this day report that this would have been the last thing. Because for girls and women, it's like, you know,
it's still an outdated belief system that girls must be held to a higher standard and they need to prepare for a womanhood and motherhood and marriage, and boys can be more promiscuous. It's just acceptable, and it's still that way. Now, that can't be the right way, because first of all, it takes two to be in a relationship. So if a boy and a girl come together at whatever, 16, 17, 18, 20, they are both participating, and they both deserve the respect of their families should they wish to share it, and the encouragement. I mean, we went through a sexual revolution in the 1960s, and things did change in a way, but really not in the beginning of a sexual relationship. Maybe when people are older, it's considered more acceptable. What do you have to say, Freddie?
Yeah, I was going to say one of the things we've been doing for the last 13 years here in Chicago with our Tantra Nova Institute and our new book, Sexual Enlightenment, is sharing a new dimension of working with sexual energy. When we're in it, whether you're doing our work or not, we're more open, loving, vulnerable, receptive. Chemically we change, oxytocin is released, endorphins, serotonin. So if we naturally are in that shifted state anyway, when we learn practices of meditation aligned with intention and the sexual energetic, we get more connected to what's possible in terms of how we are creating what we're getting and what's possible in creating what we intend to create. So in a sense, this sexual energy, I see it as the next piece to the puzzle in terms of our human evolvement. As we, you know, strive to see ourselves and each other and end war and feed people on the planet, we won't be able to do it unless we really get ourselves at a deeper level, beyond the rational left brain, which is important.
Yes.
Yet there's another piece that's missing.
Yeah, I agree with you. So it's to come beyond these fears and limitations to see love or sex as only in its smaller aspects and to see it as part of the universal energy. Now, I'm a Reiki practitioner. So when I work with this universal energy with a client, and they feel the freedom and the peace and the connection to their own inner energy, they have a new respect for themselves and for life and a new understanding. Now, the key is to get as many people to become aware of how powerful this universal, sensual, sexual life force really is, because it's all combined, and in addressing the oneness and the unity of us all interconnected, and to find love, which is the heart-based value of this sexual enlightenment and sexual or sensual or universal energy, whatever we call it, then we will be on the way to that evolution and freedom of fear, free, and we will have the freedom to grow tremendously, so young children won't have to have the scenes that you had, Elizabeth, or perhaps that I had as a young girl also. So we want to make it better for the girls and boys. We want to have equality and an understanding of the differences between men and women, which we're going to get to in a minute. But the title of your books is Sexual Enlightenment. How would you describe sexual enlightenment, and what is the goal of sexual enlightenment?
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for the question. So how we identify sexual enlightenment, as you said, it's by two dimensions. One is the dimension that is that we are wired for. Doesn't matter if we are a human being or an animal. It's that life force energy that gets, you know, triggered, for example, through the process of mating. Animals mate when they are in heat. Humans do this as well. We are very much like animals there. However, there is a difference in humans because we are self-reflective. So we can actually watch the sensations in our body, our emotions, our thoughts. So we can also watch and witness our life force energy in terms of sexual energy, both in a subtle state as well as aroused state. Now, of course, that takes some practice, but how we can see how we are different from the animals is there's a little, you know, story I tell, which is there's a, you know, bull and a cow. They go through the mating process. Now, once they complete it, the cow doesn't sit back with her cigarette in her hand and saying, "Oh, darling, that was phenomenal lovemaking." They do not reflect upon what just happened. There is no future. There is no past. It's just the wiring of the nervous system of sensing and feeling, and they feel pleasure. However, they don't assess pleasure. Unlike humans, We have a lot of assessments around pleasure, that it's bad or that it's good or that it's sinful or that it's not permissible or that I need to have it all the time, you know, all of that. So in our work, in our practices, we cultivate the ability to be really present to that energy that it can actually circulate through us. Again, both in a subtle state, just through a breath, at the very moment we could do that, or when we are sexually aroused, we can move that energy from our lower centers up into our heart center, on into our third eye chakra, and back down again into the circulation. Whole body gets imbued by this wonderful, creative, pleasurable energy. As well, we can also then channel it towards our intentions in life with respect to what we want to create.
Yes, so this energy is not only available to us in sexual acts, but for everything that is unique and creative. So this is the sexual enlightenment dimension that distinguishes us from the animals and also from humans. Some humans see sex as only an activity for pleasure and procreation. But we're seeing it here, and you're saying here that this force throughout our body and learning to feel, sense, and use it can bring us a greater quality of love of life in everything beautiful. So we can actually be in the car driving along. This happened to me one day. And all of a sudden, I had this great feeling throughout my body. And it was complete joy. And that was sexual enlightenment and the kundalini, or many different ways to describe, and it comes from becoming conscious human beings, becoming more humane and more civilized human beings. But let's go on to talk about, you describe breath meditation and energy awareness as some of the ways that we can start to work with this sensual and sexual energy for life, for love, for passion, and for creation. So tell us something about that.
Right. Hi, and this is Frazee. The thing about the sexual energy is that there is an intelligence. It's creative and it's pleasurable. And the same things that show up when we are in a creative thought to figure a new way to do something, or a feeling of joy in dancing to music or enjoying a piece of art, are the same chemicals and emotional responses that happen when we're in our sexual selves. When we bring consciousness, as we teach it, to the sexual energetic, creativity and pleasure, the kernels of that sexual energy, start showing up in areas of life that seem completely unrelated to sex and the simple process of living. Now, the first thing that we teach is one of the meditations of conscious breathing. The way your listeners can tap into this right away is if they put a hand on their belly and just sit with their open, with legs uncrossed, and bring their awareness to the breath coming into their nostrils, down their trachea, into their lungs, and extending into their diaphragm and belly like a big balloon on their inhalation, and then following it with their awareness back up and out. Now, to do that requires your mind to focus on your breath. Now, the mind is a very busy place. So as we learn to focus the mind, we learn to step away a little bit from the story, the text, the narrative that is constantly running in evaluation, in agenda, in opinion, and so on, an old story. So when we can step away from that, we start to drop into a higher connection with the consciousness and awareness. And then from that place, using the breath, we can start to oxygenate more fully, give the mind something to do, and start to live into a possible new dimension of what we want to create. And when we're in that thought, in that process, that's when we are a spark of that divine that is involving the universe long before we, as thinking Homo sapiens, were aware of our own existence. And that's the piece that we have found happens for people, no matter what socioeconomic or racial or gender they are, starts to happen when they do these practices we've designed them here with Tucker.
It goes beyond the duality of life to the core essence of our life force or soul force or universal energy, as we're calling this. And once people discover that about themselves, it's possible to do many things differently than when they were based in their ego mind and limited agenda, as you were talking about. Now, you wrote this in the book. We consider these feelings and sensations indicators of our energetic body, which is just as real for each of us as our physical body. Yet we have learned to disregard or dismiss our emotions and rationalize out of sensing what goes on within us, and often push aside or ignore the very concerns that might activate blocks in our energy centers. This in turn has us experiencing disconnects in our outer life, such as problems in relationships, dissatisfaction with our jobs, or even physical illnesses that can at times be serious in nature. So what you teach with Tantra Nova and sensual and sexual energy, much like Reiki, we're really helping people to explore this life force so that they know it is as important as their physical body, to recognize it, to realize it, to use it, and it encompasses all areas of our life. And that's, I believe, what you were writing there, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. And then you go on to give two stories. You give the story of a man who is detached and cannot engage more deeply in his relationships, and you give an example of a female, Elena, who, due to a detachment from her father when she was young, is unavailable. She picks unavailable men, and she also is emotionally immature or distanced from her true loving feelings and cannot have the best relationship. Now, I get many clients coming to me, and many of the issues they have are with relationships and love and finding intimacy. So can you tell us about those stories and how people can look to understand the differences between male and female so it'll be a little clearer of what we're looking for, whether we're a male or a female, and what we're capable of doing?
Yes, beautiful. So as the feminine energy is, we call it, you know, it's related to the slow hormone because it's based on estrogen, and masculine energy is based what we call the quick hormone, testosterone, and so we want to learn to dance with our own energy and then also with the opposite sex's energy. Unless we learn that, there will be lots of conflict, misunderstandings. And the beauty in the tantric practice is really that the man learns how to channel his wonderful, strong sexual energy. It was designed, you know, by nature like that, so that the semen would meet the egg, because that is nature's, premise, so that you would keep procreating. However, as we and you identified earlier, it's not just about procreation. So the men can learn to channel that energy so that he's not at the effect of his impulses of his sexuality, however can guide that energy and use it to pleasure himself, to connect with his beloved, and to bring that energy into his life as a creative force.
Oh, that was so beautifully said. But I know women tend to confuse sexual experience with emotional experience much more automatically than the men, because they're working on both sides of the brain, left and right, back and forth, while the men are chemically and hormonally a little different, and they are working on the left side of their brain. So they can easily have sex without any hard attachment, just to feel good and to make life enjoyable. It's easier for a man to do that. But women form a heart and body connection and are more invested in intimacy and feelings they want to share. So as far as relationships, loving relationships, and a male, a married relationship, let's say, a long-term relationship, it becomes important to understand the motivation behind the different reactions so there won't be friction about, oh, you're not listening to me, or you don't care what I think, you're only interested in your own pleasure at the moment. And that can all stop if people come to an understanding, right? It's possible, but we need more education, and we need more training. Like anything else, sexual behavior and progress and doing it well needs help.
Yes. Well, the thing is, for men that come to do this work, they start to connect and integrate the masculine and feminine dimensions of their being. So at the beginning, when we're zygotes in the womb, we're androgynous, and then it's decided one way or another we're man or woman. And you know, as full adults, we have aspects of testosterone, estrogen in our system. As we get older, the thing reverses itself. Men grow breasts, women grow hair in the faces. So what we are advocating is how to integrate this masculine and feminine dynamic and dimension as it exists emotionally and socially as full adults.
Yeah, and for the men, it means to learn to channel his wonderful sexual energy from the sexual center up into his heart center so that he becomes more integrated between his pleasure self and his love self. While the woman, most women, when they want to connect, they start feeling this in their heart center. They want to actually learn to connect their love with their sexual self. And as you mentioned earlier, that women get confused because they feel that love in the heart, then they have sex and they think it's, you know, that's
it's inappropriate,
it love,
maybe,
and given that men start feeling in their sexual center when they want to connect, they, for them, it's not a conflict, they just feel wonderful. However, in order for a man to grow, mature into a whole human being and to really create a fulfilling relationship, he does need to learn how to move up that energy into his heart so that he becomes integrated.
Yeah, so he can become the representation of the divine spark that rests in the heart center in all of us, men and women, and have the personal power to love consciously. That is the word we want people to hear, to love consciously. I want to thank you, Dr. Lisbeth Moit and Freddie Zentel Weaver, authors of Sexual Enlightenment, for your thoughtful and intuitive look at universal sexual life force energy and how to harness this energy to help us remember the power that resides in us all, so we may start to use this heart-based love to manifest a life filled with happiness and creativity and return to spiritual wholeness. To purchase this powerful and insightful book, go to tantranova.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have focused on a look at our inner universal energy and also the material human body, bringing them together in a cooperative way so the invisible and visible worlds of consciousness and unconsciousness can come together and we can realize our potential to love in all its forms, from the physical aspects of romantic love and procreation to the universal and unconditional love of life, humanity, spirit, and the divine as the pathway to satisfaction and contentment in life, in work, in relationships, and creative pursuits, always honoring and respecting the true nature of our magnificent inner energy essence, our souls. Elizabeth and Freddie wrote this in relation to the divine spark within all of us that I just spoke of and that I speak of in my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And Elizabeth and Freddie wrote this: sexual energy creates life. Through it, we have evolved from single-celled amoeba into multicellular organisms and into bipedal Homo sapiens who are capable of conscious thought. And now, by evolving from unconscious chance to conscious choice, we have the opportunity to participate consciously and affect the evolutionary process by allowing ourselves to be aware of this divine spark and choosing to use it to our personal advantage and growth, as well as for the greater good of our fellow travelers and indeed our planet. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to find new and older viewpoints of history, energy, spirituality, science, health, and the arts in search for a deeper look at the evolving nature of life, love, and health. Thank you.